This is July the 20th, and the month that I promised myself I would be leisurely and lie in the sun and play bridge. But somehow there are always so many things to do before I get around to that. First, to keep going, I just have to have all those tests once a year or so. So I went to Dr. Roan to have my eyes tested. He came away with that same smug, satisfied reaction Daddy used to have for years and years and years when he went to his insurance doctor and arrived home saying he was thoroughly fit and would live to be 90. Daddy, a foe of illness and old age, always half in vanity, half in laughter, described himself as 36. Dr. Roan pleased me very much by saying that the tissues of the eyes were indices of one's age, and I appeared to be in the 40s. I didn't push my luck to say whether it was 49 or 41. Then to see my dear foot doctor, Dr. Turchin, there to find a disappointment. Medicare has passed, but the podiatrists are about to be left out of it. The bill is in the last minute of the final stage. They have been cut out. There's virtually no chance of getting them back in. And his organization is the only portion of the medical community that from the very first has been in favor of Medicare. I felt lousy. A poor friend, a slack guardian of the interests of those who have been our friends. Dr. Turchin, as officer and sometime president of the whole organization, has, of course, been flooded with wires. Then back to the White House, to the South Lawn, for the annual meeting with the American Field Service students. This year, there were some 3,000 of them from 70 countries.
Linda.
Lucy, roped in at the last moment, walked upon the stage with her daddy and me, and with virtually no warning, introduced him quite well, too. For the past 4 years, I have known AFSers from Brazil, cheers, Germany, cheers, South Africa, very few cheers, and Australia, many cheers. Of course, those AFS students had been at NCS. I just wish I had known more AFSers and shared with you the good gay times. She had them in the palm of her hand. I would like the AFS family to meet the most important member of my family, my father, the President of the United States. My mother and daddy beamed, and then went on to a probably slightly less attentive audience to say some good things to these students who'd been over here for a year living with American families. America means to win the wars that we have declared. While I held my breath a moment, he went on to say, the battles against poverty, ignorance, disease, and bigotry. We are not a formal people. We are not governed by custom and tradition. We are more concerned with how our children should live than how our fathers lived. The part that was pure Lyndon was, we are people who wake up in the morning determined to change what we think wrong. In the past, this group has been a very rowdy one. Practically knocked President Kennedy down, stripping him of handkerchief, tie, anything that could be a souvenir. Since then, we have practiced giving them some entertainment ahead of time. Today, the singing sergeants, their autographs printed on the back of the programs. They're seated in chairs in front of the stage in neatly roped-off areas. And this does make for less broken boxwoods. But it was a big day for cameras and shouting. Some of it I was glad to hear. Texas, Texas, LBJ. Lyndon and I walked along the roped-off areas, smiling, waving, calling, but not shaking hands. That would have developed into a rough house in at least an hour. But Lucy took her chances and charmed all the youngsters by shaking hands and chatting along every foot of the roped-off area, using both hands sometime, getting invited to Egypt, Pakistan, Sweden, ask about her stingray, and some about the Watusi. I walked in the house listening to shouts of, we want Lucy, we want Lucy, from farther up the line to where she had not yet reached. In fact, I wonder how the paper would quite have published that day if it hadn't been for Lucy's activities. Earlier that morning, she'd been to a day camp on the Mount Vernon College campus run by the Lighthouse for the Blind, where Lissy Grant is doing volunteer work this summer. She'd met 40 blind or near-blind children, 6 to 15. And there was a hilarious story later, where she rather touchingly admitted that she decided not to do so much dancing, the frug and the Watusi, so as to improve her image. But when a little blind boy, 15 years old, asked her to dance the Watusi, she said, to heck with the image. I thought if they could learn those dances with all their handicaps and were nice enough to ask me, it was the least I could do. It was a way of communicating instead of just standing there and looking at, well, just standing there. In spite of beer and Catholicism. Just plain folks love Lucy, I believe, especially young folks, and so does the press. But that only began her day. At 3 o'clock, she went to the Monument Grounds, received tickets for the Merry Wives of Windsor, which is being put on in the Sylvan Theater on the Monument Grounds, from two adorable youngsters in Shakespearean costumes. They gave her three, and she said thanks because there's always three of us, she and her two agents. And then back at the White House, she met Ambassador and Lady Ashenheim from Jamaica and received two Jamaican grass skirts. One was to go to Linda from the people of Jamaica. Dear Tom Clark dropped in with his daughter Mimi, her husband, and their three children who are visiting from Texas. They all had iced tea and soft drinks, underline, in the White House library with Lucy as hostess. Meanwhile, news of Linda sounds gayer. She's in Ely, Minnesota, with Orville and Jane Freeman, on a 3-day canoe and portage trip in Superior National Forest. They have fried fish for breakfast, carry all their own knapsacks, carry the canoes even when they come to an impossible spot in the river. Dave is along, and her friends, the Giles. He's in the Marines and soon off to Germany. A couple of young forest rangers traveled with them to tell them about the trees and the history and the legends of the country. And at night they were having steak and baked potatoes and a sing-along around a campfire and then to bed in sleeping bags. At noon, I went to the White House mess for the first time and had lunch with Liz and Bess and Ashton and Patsy to try to get our calendars coordinated for the next 2 months, to put in everything I wanted desperately to do and eliminate other things, to make sure, for one thing, that Lucy didn't get asked to introduce her daddy 5 minutes before she was supposed to do it, but knew well ahead of time. My people are all great, but like any organization of more than two, we suffer sometime from lack of communication. And then back upstairs to the second floor, for this was indeed one of those days that Liz says, watch out for the revolving door, to meet in the Queen's sitting room Beulah Parker of Marshall, longtime school teacher, old Marshall High School friend of mine, and political helper in all campaigns of our years, and her friend, Mrs. Hall, another teacher. They're taking a long automobile trip, stopping to see all the plays and the historical sites along the way. We had tea and a good visit, and then I got a short nap before going to the Yellow Oval Room to meet the wives of three of our outgoing ambassadors. One, Mrs. Whitman, a Greek national to Togo. Mrs. Robert Ryan to Niger, and Mrs. Clinton Knox to Dahomey. Anne Hand brought them in, and we had tea on the Truman balcony and talked about the countries to which they were going. Their career service advancements, and two of them, surprisingly, I had met in Paris. This is a new routine established by Lloyd and Anne so that our ambassadors will feel some sense of closeness to the president and his family. A good idea, I think. I'd autographed a family picture for the living rooms in those faraway lands of Togo and Niger and Dahomey. Lennon had asked, what about dinner on the boat? That's always a treat, though sometimes I resent anything that takes me away from work when I'm so far behind and have that frustrated feeling of being overwhelmed by duties undone. The answer's simple. After a day of Vietnam, anything that is solace, nirvana for him, makes sense. And mostly he makes up the list, although I usually give him 4 or 5 names that I would like. And I think we're winding up with more and more of them on there. Tonight, it was the Bill Fulbrights, and dear Senator Russell, George and Rosemary Smathers, Germaine and Maggie, Catherine Buford Ellington, the Ed Clarks still in town, attractive young Congressman Bradamus with Vicky, George Mahons, always good company, a man that's grown with his years in Congress, Marianne and Emmett, and a delightful surprise, Ovita Hobby. She'd come into Lyndon's office for one moment and remained to spend the whole evening. I'm sure that was the story of it. The evening was superb. The views a balm to the spirit. The river full of floating debris. And the talk good. There's a big, comfortable chair at the very end of the Honey Fits That's Lyndon's favorite of the boats. And Lyndon ensconces himself there and gets some pretty ladies clustered around him and spends his evening. Sometimes he even goes to sleep. Tonight it was Ovida Hobby that was with him much of the time. I circulated, first to talk to Dick Russell, whose spirit is undaunted, but he's very thin and pale. Frankly says he can stand no exertion at all, with Rosemary Smathers, whom I hadn't seen in a long time. To talk about Bridge, their two handsome sons, who are in very hazardous occupations now, one underwater demolition. And also, importantly, to talk to George about the possibilities of helping out the podiatrist, even at this late date. Germaine Magnuson, for 12 years a constant date of Maggie's and now his wife, has done an amazing job of perfect domestication to one who survived over 50 years of being a bachelor. She has a grandchild, and he makes absolutely normal remarks of a grandfather about that baby. George and Helen Mahon and I bemoan the loss of the closeness that had once bound the Texas delegation together, and applauded the durability of Abby and Ewing Thomason, who have grown old as gracefully as any couple I know, loving life every inch of the way, and everybody loving them. We had dinner on trays. One of the nicest things about the boat is that you have the feeling that every guest is glad he got included, that it is a treat. For me, it always was. The times I went with Forrestal many years ago, the time I went with Roberta Vinson, the fewer times since. And now I'm so glad that we can share it.